Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestino here with something a little different for you here today. We are going to be talking about some of my favorite moments and hopefully some of your favorite moments from the RHAP voicemails from Survivor Worlds Apart. This was an idea I got about a week or 2 weeks ago, and I decided to reach out to a lot of you guys and say, hey, what were some of your favorite moments from the season? And I wasn't thinking just voicemail when I first came up with this idea, but it turns out that a lot of the things from the season were very much strategy related from our interviews, and that stuff doesn't really hold up great on, because we already know how it's all going to work out on something like this. But the voicemails, I think that there were a lot of funny moments that I hope will still be funny to you guys and be a fun walk down memory lane as we are now done with Survivor Worlds Apart. But before we put it out to pasture, well, let's go through it. Not put it out to pasture, put it out to pasture. I didn't want to do a list of this was number 10, this was number one, because frankly, I'm sure there's probably a lot of really funny stuff that got left on the cutting room floor here, or I didn't even think of to make it on the list. So these are just 10 moments that I really enjoyed, that were fun to me, that held up on the re-listen. So I hope that you enjoy this too. So that's what's coming up here in this show, and I'll come back and forth to sort of set up each of these clips. And I hope it should be a fun show for you guys too, as we are just getting started here on this Survivor offseason. Before we get to the first clip, I just want to take a moment and thank a sponsor before we start, and those are our friends over at Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a new sponsor on the show, but they're actually a very cool company. What they do is that they send you groceries in the mail. That's right. So you can go ahead and do all sorts of fun cooking, but not have to go to the grocery store and go and find ingredients and all sorts of the boring stuff that makes cooking not fun. Because the last thing you want to do after you get off of work is wait in line at the grocery store and cook a complicated meal. An inexpensive, unhealthy takeout is much worse for you. So go ahead and try out Blue Apron, because they deliver farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to you, and allowing you to create healthy, handcrafted meals at home without going to the grocery store. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron is going to send you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, making cooking healthy meals really easy and fun. So no more trips to the grocery store and no more waste from unused ingredients. Plus, you'll learn to cook with specialty ingredients that are normally hard to find. It's perfect for date night, cooking with friends, and even for family night with kid-friendly ingredients that the whole family can eat well. And each meal is between 500 to 700 calories per serving, and they taste great. It takes about half an hour. Shipping is flexible and free, and the menus are always new, and they won't send you the same meal twice. This week on Blue Apron, some of the meals that you could get are the chicken and pea stir fry with noodles, or the vegetarian option is a grilled cheese strawberry sandwich. You know what they say about people who eat a lot of grilled cheese. So how about that? So check out this week's menu. Get your first two meals for free by going to blueapron.com/RHAP. Your first two meals are on me when you go to blueapron.com/RHAP. Now, it turns out that Blue Apron is a really great deal, but that's not the only thing that turned out this season here on Rob Has a Podcast, because in our very first voicemail segment of the season, I spoke with Josh Wigler about the premiere, and we had all sorts of fun. I know people had also nominated some of the Joaquin, is he Joaquin dead or is he Joaquin on Sunshine? But there was one moment for me that held up better than that, and that was after I had gotten a tweet from another survivor, which was very memorable in the minds of many RHAP fans. So this is almost near the end of the podcast, right before we started getting into all the social media stuff. This is from my podcast with Josh Wigler on February 27th, 2015. How about this? And Sugar Kuiper. That it was her birthday, February 22nd. She turns 36. And happy birthday to Sugar.
Happy birthday to Sugar. What did you get for Sugar?
I didn't get anything for Sugar.
You
but
sure?
I got a crazy tweet from Sugar today.
Yes, this I know about.
I was going through my timeline, and I got a tweet from Sugar that says, "Dear at Rob Sestrinino, I think you missed this one. about me acting for years before the show, period, turned out to me, all caps, nice. What does that mean? Turned out to me nice.
Turned out to me nice.
I need like the Google Translate of sugar.
Is sugar a language?
Yes.
It's a different language?
Yes.
Or is turned out to me nice her upcoming single?
I don't know. This is, for those people that watched a review, this is like the episode. Did you watch that show?
No.
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah.
Should I have? Did I miss out?
Yeah, that's a good show. You should watch that.
Is it actually, or are you just bull?
No, I'm being serious. I mean, it's a very good show. Check it out. Review. It's like 9 episodes on Comedy Central. But yeah, what does turned out to me nice? What does it mean?
Turned out to me nice.
Why is Sugar saying this to me, dear?
Is she like coming on to you?
I don't think so. And then the picture is that there's an attached picture of Sugar. It's like a National Enquirer article of Sugar with Simon Baker, and the headline is
"The Mentalist
Survivor Babe's steamy romp with mentalist hunk. Sugar got sweet with Simon Baker." But why is she tweeting this to me today?
I don't know.
Dear at Rob Sestrino, I think you missed this one about me acting for years before the show turned out to me nice.
Have you turned out to Sugar mean on any podcasts lately?
I don't recall.
I
did have Corinne on recently, but I don't think did I say anything about Sugar's acting career before she was on Survivor?
I don't recall if Corinne said anything specifically about Sugar, because that all will end up blurring together for me at this point. But if she did, maybe you're just guilty by association.
Also,
it could be a game of Twitter telephone where she has heard that you have badmouthed her. Because I doubt that she'd listen to any of your podcasts.
Yeah. Why did she send me this? About why this picture of this article from the Enquirer about her with Simon Baker?
Well, I think she knows that you're a big fan of The Mentalist. You're very disappointed that the show is off the air now. But, you know, it really ended a year and a half ago and they solved the Red John mystery. But I think that she just knows that you miss The Mentalist and she wants to reach out to you. She wants to turn out to you nice.
Okay. Well,
turn out to me nice.
Turn out to me nice. I'm going to go insane. I'm going to need electric shock treatments to try to figure this out, what that means.
Turn out to me nice.
Yes, but happy
it
birthday.
It really is a great name for a song.
How does it go?
I don't know. Turn out to me nice.
How does it go, Wanda?
Turn out to me nice. Sugar and spice, turn out to me nice.
Simon Baker,
The Mentalist.
All right, well, that actually turned out to me very memorable, and it was so memorable that one of the good friends of the show, Shut Up Tim on Twitter, Tim All In, he actually made a Turn Out to Me Nice song that we actually used in the podcast this season. This is from Tim, Turn Out to Me Nice, the musical number.
Everybody knows what Sugar already knows. Turned out to be nice. 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 Sugar, 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 sugar. Turned out to be nice.
So who knew Turn Out to Me Nice would turn out to have such a life of its own outside of that podcast? So another one of my moments that I really liked from this season, and one that has also gotten a lot of play since then, or at least a little bit of play between this and on the Spice and Hour, was that Tyson was the guest for the recap and the voicemails on the second to last podcast of the year. I believe that was on May 7th. 2014. And so Tyson was my guest, and one of the voicemails was another one of these mysterious voicemails that we get from time to time. So here is that memorable voicemail from my podcast with Tyson.
All right, Tyson, I've got one more question, and this is one that I really do need your help to help me figure out what this person is talking about, okay?
Okay.
You know, sometimes
what language are they speaking?
They're speaking English, I think, but I don't know. These, you know, I listen to all these voicemails, and sometimes we get some odd ones. This one comes to us from Westerboro, Massachusetts. All right?
Okay, let's hear it.
You guys, the punch drunk thing, what's the matter with you people? Whatever.
What is that? The punch drunk thing?
Yeah, he said you're punch drunk people, whatever, and then hung up. I feel like he wasted his 15 minutes of family in a rather poor way.
Let me listen to this again.
You guys, the punch drunk thing, what's the matter with you people? Whatever.
Like, he seems like he's annoyed about, you guys, the punch drunk thing.
Yeah, he's annoyed. He's maybe lonely.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I feel like this guy needs a friend, man. Let's reach out to him on social media if you're a fan, and just let him know that life's worth living, man.
Whatever.
Why is he so depressed?
I don't know, man. The punch drunk thing.
What, you know? Punch drunk thing? What did we say? Who's punch drunk?
The punch drunk love with Adam Sandler, maybe.
What? What was the punch drunk thing? Why is he so frustrated with us?
That's what we... There's mysteries, man, that just aren't going to be solved till we die and get to ask St. Peter three questions.
And they ask, what is the guy talking about? And then St. Peter would be like...
Whatever.
But what was it about?
Yeah, you got... I've got... What's up with Jimmy Hoffa?
Mm-hmm.
What's this punch drunk guy talking about?
Yeah. And why is Sugar mad at me and say turned out to me nice on Twitter?
What?
No, that's a different story. That's a different story for a different podcast.
For what? Me?
No, ooh. Me.
Okay.
That was from a
Sugar
while
doesn't
ago.
Like you anymore.
Yes.
That's not a huge whatever. Loss, Rob.
Yeah, what is that about, Tyson?
We'll never know, man. Maybe he can call in next season and clear this thing up for us.
Yeah, call back and tell us what you're so upset about. The punch
yeah, come
drunk.
On.
What is the punch drunk thing?
What is the punch drunk thing?
Did Rodney want to get drunk on his birthday?
I'm going to be the leader no matter what. I'm the Tom Brady here.
Yeah.
It could have been something to do with punching more than drunking.
Whatever.
Whatever. All right. So this week, of course, Tyson, one of the things we like to do on the podcast is talk about all the players that have birthdays. And there's never been a better week to talk about that.
We still have never gotten to the bottom of who left us this voicemail. But I guess my feeling on that could be summed up with.
Whatever.
All right, and of course, more Tyson comes your way every week on Rob is a Podcast when we do the Spicin' Hour, which we post on Mondays, and we record live on Periscope every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. So this next clip that I want to set up comes to us from around the time of the merge. It was from the same episode where Jim Rice was our guest for the main interview on the podcast, but Mike Bloom was the guest for the voicemails on March 26th. And a lot of people had been talking about at this time that Haley had made a rap video as part of like an extra credit project for school, talking about lawyer stuff and rapping about corporations. And so we ended up talking about that on the podcast, and we got to see some of Mike's own skills at rapping here in this next clip from the Survivor Worlds Apart voicemails.
I have an extra credit project for you.
Oh boy. All right. Bring it on. Okay. Hopefully this will make up for the match game stuff.
Now, you've done such a great job on the voicemails. I would like to know if do you have a rap song in you for extra credit?
Well, in ninth grade, I did get an A on my school project for Julius Caesar, where I did a rap parody of Lean Back by Fat Joe. So hopefully I can channel that inner ninth grader in me and see if I can come up with something.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Here is, can we drop a beat for Mike Bloom? What's your rap name, by the way?
How about MC Blizzard? MC Bloomizzard.
Bloomizzard. Okay. Here is MC Bloomizzard. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Dirty 30. Here we go. Mike Bloomizzard in the house. Here we go. Three decades of Survivor. That's so crazy. Look at Will. Hey, he might be lazy. I don't know, considering he's a no-collar. But I know one thing. He won't win $1 million. Dan's saying offensive things. He don't like women. But I'm sure he likes criminals. Criminals. That's what Haley studies. Thinking about the books and lots of buddies. Buddies like Jen, who gets stung by bees. Don't talk about her, because she's got scarred knees. Shireen's walking around watching monkeys have sex. And Vince is walking around putting people in hexes. Joe's got long hair. He's pretty cool. I don't know if he went much to Survivor school, but he knows how to count. Not like Dan. Something I'm going to tell you, though. The winner is a man. Not to say anything against women, because they're cool, too. I like Carolyn. She's got cool shoes. Yeah, yeah. Survivor 30.
Wow.
Prototypical.
Very prototypical.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, give it up for Mike Bloom.
I'll accept all record offers after this podcast.
Wow. Man, I hope that Chase Rice was listening. Could sign you to his label.
So maybe I can do like the rap interludes in his country songs. I can be the Ludacris to his Justin Bieber.
Yes. Oh, wait. Actually, it turns out. Yeah, I was periscoping this whole thing. It's Jim Rice was listening. Jim Rice wants to sign you to his label.
I can do it. Red hair, don't care. Cochran is smaller than a bear. That's going to be my interlude.
So give it up for Mike Bloomizzle. Yeah, great job by Mike rapping. And maybe him and Haley can collaborate for something in the future. One of these next clips, this is technically not something from the voicemails. This is something that actually happened on the exit interview. But I don't know whether it was another collaboration or a screw up, but on the exit interview where I spoke with Joe back on April 16th, usually we speak with our good friend Jordan Kalish and we talk about what happened on This Week in Survivor History. But on this edition of This Week in Survivor History, we had some sort of technical glitch or snafu, and people really liked this moment. So I wanted to include it in here. So here is This Week in Survivor History with Jordan from April 16th, 2015.
All right, so let's get into this past week in Survivor History. It's going to be the third week in April in Survivor History. And here is our resident Survivor researcher, Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan!
Hey, Rob. I am really excited to get in. We have some good things happening this week. Some big players to talk about.
I said this is Jordan Kalish. Are you going to correct
Rob,
me?
I've given up on correcting you. Okay.
All right, Jordan. Well, you're jumping the gun here a little bit because, of course, we want to welcome you to the show. But before we get into everything, we always like to thank our sponsor for this week in Survivor History, and those are our friends over at True Car. Because Jordan, I know that you have been in the market for a car. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm really looking for a used car, but there seems to be a problem with my last name on all of the registrations.
Yes. All right. Well, when you're going to make a big purchase like buying a new car, you want a transparent buying process, a process that gives you confidence to know you're getting a fair deal. So to really understand the power of transparency, Jordan, and you agree, the power of transparency is a powerful thing, right?
I think transparency is the biggest thing. I think you always need to know what you're getting into and what's going on.
Yes, of course, and especially when you're buying the car. So check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure a car the way you want, you can also see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for, down to the zip code, so you know what to expect to pay for the car that you want. It's a pretty transparent process, right?
That sounds very transparent. I like to live my life in complete transparency.
Yes.
That sounds like my kind of deal.
You're see-through almost. And once you decide on the car you want, then you could lock in the guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without a negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. All right, Jordan, what are we talking about this week?
Well, today we're talking about something maybe even as great as the True Car experience. We're talking about first a big week in Survivor Kageyan.
Okay, this is huge. We needed this. I feel like this is the first time we've talked about Survivor Kageyan here on This Week in Survivor History. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. We, you know, Kageyan had a lot of big moments post merge, and
did we already talk about it earlier this season when Tony found the aisle? Do you remember?
Rob, I can't be sure. I don't want to lie to you.
Can you just check your notes and tell me if we talked about this already this year?
Rob, I'll check my notes. They're not on me right now, so I might have to get back to you. I can let all the fans know.
Okay, all right. Well, tweet us tomorrow and let us know.
I will tweet you tomorrow. But today is actually the anniversary of a big moment when 1 year ago today, actually, April 16th, 2014, was the blindside of LJ McCanus.
Yes. One of Tony's biggest moves in the game. I believe that was at Final 9 when Tony decided to get rid of LJ, right?
Yeah. Well, see, it's tricky. One would think. It seemed on the surface that Tony was running things. But this was actually the episode where we learned a lot more. You know, ostensibly, Tony's alliance had been in control, and we saw Sarah and Morgan go home. And we all thought that, you know, Tony was going to decide the next person to go home. And this was really the point where we learned who was behind the scenes pulling all the strings. So we had, incidentally, a reward challenge where Tony, Jeremiah, and Spencer were able to win reward and go on a spa day.
Yes.
And this was at a point in the game where Spencer really had just been winning everything. He had been winning every challenge. He had found every immunity idol.
Spencer had the immunity idol?
Yeah, Spencer had the immunity idol. And Tony really was getting to a point where he saw Spencer as an unstoppable force.
Right.
And, you know, so he went on this reward challenge and really realized he needed to save his ass by getting on Spencer's side. And he basically begged Spencer to consider voting out LJ instead of him, to keep Tony around for a bit longer. It was sort of a you can't beat him, you join him type of thing. Now, at this point, we really started to see who was masterminding the entire season when they go back to camp and when Tony pulls in Wu and Spencer really pulls in Tony and pulls in everyone to create this blindside of LJ. And it was a big turning point in the game and a big turning point in how people saw the season.
In the secret scenes? Where are you getting this from that this was Spencer that put this all together?
Rob, watch the episode. You know, it's all there. Actually, the secret scenes did show a lot more, though. The one overlooked thing at this point in the game is that at this point, Spencer actually found the Tyler Perry idol. And Spencer, you know, being such a fan and really wanting the best for the fans and caring about Rob as a podcast, decided that he would put the Tyler Perry idol back in its hiding place for Tony to find later. That was another often overlooked part.
You're joking, right?
I'm not. Would I joke with you, Rob?
Why would Spencer do that? Why would and why would the show not show Spencer finding the Tyler Perry idol?
Well, Spencer was a player, obviously. He was, you know, running
yeah,
the
that's
whole
not
show.
Good
but
play.
He really cared more about the entertainment of his favorite show than about winning the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's the story we got.
This sounds like fan fiction to me.
No, I don't think so, Rob.
Okay, all right. And so then LJ got voted out, right?
Right. Yeah. Then LJ got voted out, and you know the rest. It was a very chaotic post merge.
Yes. Okay. That is not exactly how I remember it, but okay. So what else is going on in this week in Survivor history?
I'm getting
a Skype call from Jordan Kalish. Why am I getting a Skype call from another from?
I'll
answer it?
Hey.
Yes. Jordan, are you there?
Hey Rob, how's it going?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I think that was your phone disconnected?
No, my phone is fine. My life is good.
Okay, so what else is going on in this week in Survivor history?
What do you mean, what else?
What else is going on in this week in Survivor history?
Well, I just called you. I mean, have we even started? Don't we have to do the advertisement and everything?
No. So are you drinking?
Not excessively.
You're talking about that Spencer found the Tyler Perry idol, and we're in the middle of doing this.
You mean Tony?
No. Yes, Tony found the Tyler Perry idol.
Yeah, Tony found the Tyler Perry idol, but I'm not even going to talk about Kagayan today. I was planning on talking about Heroes versus Villains.
Okay, what happened in Heroes versus Villains?
Well, this is the episode from April 15th, 2010. This is 5 years ago yesterday. This episode is actually called Survivor History. So this is definitely a good one to talk about. And this is another one that the patrons voted on this week. And this is the episode, of course, where JT thinks that there is a women's alliance going on the Villains tribe. So he decides to hand the Hidden Immunity idol over to Russell in order to save him.
Okay.
And this was a move where JT thought it was going to be a great strategic point for the Heroes, because he figured Russell's on the outs. He's a new player. He doesn't know anybody. And at the merge, we'll be able to rip him in and get the majority after the merge.
Okay. And how did that work out for JT?
It did not work out very well for JT. It ended up that Russell was, of course, not on the outs in his tribe. He was very much on the an insider in his tribe, along with Parvati and Danielle. The best part of this episode that we all remember, not only JT handing Russell the idol, and Colby was kind of involved as well during the challenge, but then when Russell gets the note that came with the idol, and he the note, of course, says, read in private, don't show anybody. And of course, he brings it right to his alliance member Parvati. And at that point, we basically knew that that this is going to come around and screw JT in the end.
Oh boy! All right. Well, Jordan, you did great work this week. I think you started off a little rough, but I think you came on strong here in the end with Heroes versus Villains.
I don't think I started rough at all. We did what we normally do. You know, I did forget to add that Parvati actually added the XOXO part. That's not actually in the note, which I didn't realize until my recent rewatch this episode. Are the two podcast awards getting to your head? I can't tell.
Why do you think the podcast awards have gotten to my head?
I don't know. You won these two great awards yesterday, and now I get on the line and you're all confused.
Yes. All right, Jordan. Well, hopefully next week we'll have everything a little more organized when we do the call. Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving you a pass on this one. You're in Vegas. Shit happens when you go to Vegas.
You're giving me a pass. I'm giving you a pass.
Well, okay. We both passed.
I guess so. All right. Well, hopefully next week, let's try to stick to the things that happen in the episodes and not in the secret scenes. Okay.
Stick to the plan.
Yeah. Stick to the plan. All right. Thank you so much, Jordan.
All right. You too, Rob. That was weird.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right. So that was your This Week in Survivor History moment here, talking about some of the best voicemail and I guess exit interview then This Week in Survivor History moments
from Survivor Worlds Apart. Now, no season of Survivor voicemail on RHAP is going to be complete unless we hear from this man. Of course, he is our freakiest freak of the week every time he comes on. And this season, we had him on, I believe it was the Merge episode. I think Vetus, we spoke to him at the top half of the podcast. And then we spoke to Bryce. And here, a question that came in about the Merge tribe name. Of course, that we all remember that the Merge tribe was named Merica for this season. And this was the first night that we had heard this, or this is the day after the first night that we had heard this. So I got to speak with Bryce about Merica and some other unusual tribe names for the Merge tribe in Survivor history. This is from April 2nd, 2015.
Hey, Robin Bryce. This is Nate from Lincoln, Nebraska. Where do you rank Merica in the list of Merge tribe names? I love it when the players do something more entertaining than combine the pre-merge names, such as Hoyopa last season, Solarion from Kageyan, or Chibogamogo from Survivor All-Stars. For me, Merica is right up there with Ina Ladam from Karamoan, or Merlonio from Redemption Island. And if it had been allowed, would Taite Waite be your number one? Love you, Bay.
All right, love you, Bay. All right, so Bryce, first off, let me get your take on the tribe name America.
America. I was with Shireen. I was not a fan. I'm like, what in the dog backwoods and the double America? Like, you got to say it with like a Southern / Boston accent to even be able to pronounce it. Like, you can't even try to say a regular, Rob.
America.
No. America. Like, so I'm not a huge fan of it. I kind of am like a geek. I like when they kind of combine the names.
Oh, you like that?
I kind of like it a little bit. It's a little freaky. Like, you know, we're combining the names. But I thought, you know, they could have done a little better. But I was curious because I'm like, they all cannot agree on this name. Like, they all can't be like, they all just can't agree on the name. But I just feel like everyone, you know, you just made the merge. So you don't want to like ruffle too many feathers. So you just kind of keep your mouth shut and you go off in the confessionals. So, I mean, America is not on my top list. I don't even know if it's on my list at this point.
Okay, but, well, Bryce, I went through and I made my list of the worst Merge tribe names of all time. And then I want to put America on my list. You say it better.
You got it.
Yeah, you say it like America.
Well, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be said. You have to tilt your head when you say it. And it comes out a little more America. Like, I was like, what the double?
America.
Yeah.
Next, I'm going to wobble.
Yes. I need you to Google wobble dances at your free time, Rob. We're going to teach you the wobble.
Okay.
Spencer got it.
Okay. Here's my top five, my top five baby worst Merge tribe names of all time. Okay, number five I have on the list, I'm going to go from Survivor South Pacific, the T-Tuna tribe. That's two words, T-E, and then tuna. I don't know, you shouldn't have the word tuna in, that's not right. So, I don't know who came up with that, but T-Tuna, say that's a miss.
Okay.
That's a miss. Number four, I'm going to go with, there's a lot of different ways I can go, but I'm going to go with the one of the original ones that you seem to like. I'm going to go with Chibogamogo.
That's like in my top five.
Yeah, because, you know, as much as I love with like celebrity couples that we make like a Brangelina, I think we should be a little more creative than just like take the tribes and just put them in the name generator and spit something out. And there's a lot of the different ones like Rarotonga is one, or Aitutanga. It happens a lot. Last season was Hoyopa. I don't like it.
Well, I didn't really like the name, but I always like when Hoyopa wins the, like, you know, so I think it's how Jeff puts his little Jeff swag on it, you know?
No, that didn't make my list. I don't have a problem with Hoyopa. Okay. Number three, I think, on the worst tribe name list, I'm going to go with
With all due respect to Boston Rob, I'm going to go with another one of his merge tribes, and I'm going to go with Merlonio. Mm. Merlonio, which turned out to be one of Amber's stuffed animals. Then after it was over, he did like a contest, find your inner Merlonio. Oh. And I don't know. Merlonio, I think, is a reach.
Yeah, I think it sounds like an English colony.
Yes. All right. Number two, my number two worst tribe name, a merge tribe name of all time. I'm going to go back to Gabon. Where in that season they just spelt Gabon backwards. Yeah. And it was the No Bag tribe. I think that was terrible.
Gabon was a good season.
And that's not one of my favorites, but No Bag, I mean, that sounds like a bad word that you shouldn't even be saying. No Bag. That guy, you know, that guy's a real no bag. And then finally, I think the worst tribe name of all time is, as mentioned by Nate in the call, Enel Adam, which is, with all due respect to the former Mr. Survivor, Malcolm, that his mom's name backwards. Enel, I think, sounds a little too much like anal.
I would agree.
Enel Adam, I don't know.
Yeah, sounds like something you need lube for, and I think that might be a little too freaky.
Yeah, I think Enel Adam is a guy who might be the biggest freak, the freakiest freak out there. Enel Adam,
he needs no lube, actually.
All right, so then where do I place Merica on this list? I think it's probably, I'm going to put it probably one spot ahead of Merlonio. I think it's the third worst tribe name that we've had. I think that I'll put it right there at number three. How about that?
Okay. I would agree.
Third worst tribe name for Merica.
Merica.
Very funny stuff with Bryce. And Bryce was actually so good. I actually have a second clip from Bryce. And this is moments after that conversation. Everybody always wants to know when Bryce comes on, who's going to be the freakiest freak of the season? And Bryce did a great job answering that question. And here is his answer to who is the freakiest freak from Survivor Worlds Apart. Let's take this question. This is one that I got a lot of calls about. People really need to know from you, Bryce.
Okay.
What's up, Robin Bryce? It's Jordan from Vancouver. So we got a lot of great candidates this season. So Bryce, who is the freakiest freak of Survivor Worlds Apart? Love the show. Peace.
All right, Bryce. Who is the freakiest freak of Survivor Worlds Apart?
Hey, dun dun dun. And I thought long and hard about this, but sometimes I feel like, hey, let's get to the all A's. That's a jam. You know, whenever you hear that, you just got bust out with a jam. But so.
Well, because there's a lot of nominees.
There are. I mean, you know, I think at the live event, I had, you know, nominated Will for his freakiness. You know, he doesn't wear a bra. He has his titties out all the time. You know, Dan was a nominee for the apparent Mantigate, and I'm sorry, baby. It's no way in the world. You know, I was on Survivor, Dan, okay? And I know about the lakes where, you know, we aqua dump and we do our business, but it would have had to been a typhoon to come through and to wash your panties off your body like that. Like, I'm not buying that story. No way, no how, Dan, okay?
You don't think it could have happened?
I mean, it would have had to been a typhoon. Like, the season would have been over for his the wave to come.
A tsunami
to come to, and that's the place where you chose to go to the bathroom. Like, Dan, I'm going to need you to have a seat, okay? I'm going to need you to have several seats. But I feel like sometimes when you have to go to the earth, and, you know, Mother Earth will decide. And I feel like during last night's episode, I feel like the honeypot was coming. And the honeypot decided that, listen, that Jen's got a sweet old honeypot. So I'm going to have to go with those bees, baby, because if the bees is stinging Miss Jen in that honeypot, then baby, she has to be the freak of the season.
Wow.
She's got LJ going crazy. So I mean, listen, it's that if that honeypot is that sweet, you know.
She's got LJ going crazy.
LJ goes crazy over anything. So
why, on like social media?
Correct. But, you know, I think LJ and Sierra really connect because, you know, she's like a, she rides horses and stuff. And, you know, that just drives LJ up a wall.
All right. So, so you're saying freakiest freak this season is Jen. Congratulations, Jen.
Jen. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Jen, congratulations.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Oh, the freakiest freak of the season.
I hope Dale is okay with that, you know? It's, you know, it's
well,
big
you passed it along.
We passed the torch. And I think I read a tweet not too long ago where Dale was like, he's not really sure if he is in the category of the freakest freak. And I had to let Mr. Dale know, if at any point in time your Twitter handle is FarmGuy69, then baby, you are definitely the freakiest freak, okay?
Of that season, yes.
Of that season. So wear your crown proud, Dale.
Okay. I'm surprised that you had no love for Shireen as the freakiest freak of the season because, well, let me lay out the case for her. Because, one, you know, she's walking around naked.
Definitely.
She did talk about how she is, you know, dissecting animals before she comes out there. And then let me play a clip for you from last night. This is Dan gets an injury to him and Shireen wants to help him out.
I got stung by a jellyfish.
Do you really? Do you want me to pee on it?
I already did. It's the hot water that helps more.
Yeah, she seemed a little disappointed, but she's very quick to volunteer.
She was very quick to offer her golden urine, you know? But apparently Dan beat her to the punch.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, Dan already, he had no need for her.
Do you want me to pee on it?
Yeah. Okay. So, no, tell me why not Shireen? Why Jen over Shireen?
Well, again, I listen to the gods, but I don't see Shireen as the freakiest freak only because I really enjoy Shireen, and I think I love her cutthroat tongue and her ability to kind of like tell it like it is in the confessional. So although Shireen did not get the freakiest freak, Shireen is definitely, in my book, one of the talk of the town.
Okay, so she's talk of the town.
She's talk of the town.
More than the freakiest freak.
More than the freakiest freak. Although I'm very interested in her, like, you know, monkey porno business. Like,
yes, she likes to watch the monkeys.
You know, she's got it. She created a whole new fetish. I was unaware of the monkey porno business. So, I mean, she did open my eyes. You know, I learned a lot from her. So,
great job by Bryce. Always love to get him on the podcast. I wish that we could come up with more ideas to get him on something here because I just crack up the entire time that he's talking. Now, one of the other things that a lot of people asked for was people love the Rupert Tweets game, and we played a lot of Rupert Tweets on the Survivor voicemail, and I could have gone a bunch of different ways for the Rupert Tweets game, but I had gotten specifically, I had been requested for the Antonio version of the Survivor Rupert's Tweets game. Antonio was the voicemail guest when we spoke with Sophie back in, I believe it was on week number 8, and that was when Haley had just been voted out of the tribe. This was from April 10th, 2015. This is Antonio playing the Rupert Tweets game. All right, now Rupert outdid himself last night.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because I have easily 7 or 8 Rupert tweets, which are very generic. This is a week where Rupert could have potentially preloaded all of them.
Oh, just this week. Just this week.
Yes, just this week.
Never done that before.
Also, maybe not every single one could have been preloaded, and I have a fake one. So right. It's hard for me to narrow it down to just 3 fake ones. Or is there just 3 real ones and 1 fake one? Okay.
But let's see what we got with Rupert here.
All right, here we go. Here are Rupert's tweets from this week. Of course, this is you get 1 fake one and 3 real ones. Okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Number one. Gosh, I miss playing this game. Hashtag Survivor. Hashtag Survivor Worlds Apart. Okay.
Yeah, well, we know that, Rupert. Why don't you... Rupert, I saw the turtle last night build a shelter very similar to one Rupert wanted to build one time.
Yes, that's true. That's
true. Dig a giant hole in the sand and let the eggs get buried and washed over by water. Good plan. All right, what's number two?
Okay, number two. the swing vote always holds the power on Survivor. Hashtag Survivor. Hashtag Survivor worlds apart. Okay.
It's pretty good. There was a swing vote. Sierra was a swing vote. So that could have been appropriate.
Okay. Number three. It's amazing how a reward can make things okay. For a little bit anyway. Hashtag Survivor. Hashtag Survivor worlds apart.
till he's reminded of the shelter building. Yeah.
Yes.
I got it.
And then finally, one of the best things about a Survivor reward is seeing something that hardly anyone else gets to. Hashtag Survivor worlds apart.
Oh my gosh.
Hashtag sea turtles.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I think that one's real. We're gonna have that one being pretty real, I think.
And one more bonus one that's definitely right. that's definitely a bonus. Yeah. Rupert says, at least someone is out there fishing. Hashtag pelican. Hashtag survivor. Hashtag survivor worlds apart.
I didn't even notice the pelican, so I don't know if that one's real. You said that was a bonus ham, so I don't know.
Yes.
Let's see. He said it's amazing how a reward can make things okay for a little while. That might be legitimately in response to Shireen. You said there was one with sea turtles, so I don't think it's that one.
Mm-hmm.
There was one with a swing vote. I don't know. That one's pretty good. I don't know how he would know there was a swing vote unless he was watching. But then what was the other? The first one was really, really funny.
Gosh, I miss playing this game.
I so want that to be real. I'm going to go with the swing vote not being real.
Swing vote, final answer?
Just because I want, gosh, I miss playing this game to be real. If I got trolled on that one, I'll die happy.
I believe for the first time we have a winner in this game. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, Antonio.
I can't believe.
Yes.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Gosh, I miss playing this game. That sounded so made up.
No, it's real. So great job by Antonio Mazzaro playing Rupert Sweets here with us on the Survivor voicemails. And it really didn't get old yet this season of playing the Rupert Tweet games. People are very, very, very excited to participate in playing Rupert Tweets. That being said, let's go to our next clip. And this comes to us from the actual next voicemail section of that we did chronologically. This is from after I got back from the podcast awards. We ended up splitting the voicemails into two sections. So this was the following Saturday when I spoke with Angie Kontz. And at this point in time, we didn't know everything there was to know about Dan Foley. And we had gotten asked the question of, could we rank the Survivor Dan so we could find out who is the Dan that sucks? And so here is my attempt to rank the Survivor Dans with Angie.
Hey, Rob. Tyler from Michigan here. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was wondering, with Dan having another stellar episode last night and letting Joe get away to make his fake immunity idol, is it time that we start referring to him as the Dan that sucks? Or is there another Dan that holds that title, like Dan Limbo or Dan Liu? Thanks. Love the podcast.
Let's talk about this. Who is the Survivor Dan that sucks? Okay. Well, I think we have to establish then who's the Survivor Dan that doesn't suck also.
I think that's the problem. I think you need to have someone that's done exceptionally well to contrast the whoever who sucks, right?
Okay.
I don't think there have been any standout Dans.
Well, there have been five Survivor Dans to this point.
Really?
And this does not include, Danielle DiLorenzo, Double D, or Danny Boatwright. Although we could potentially one day get a Survivor, Dans versus Kelly's going on. Yeah. Or Rob's versus John's versus Dan's. But okay, to this point, we have five Survivor Dans, and I think it's time to do the Survivor Dan power rankings. Wow. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? All right. So let me introduce you to, in case for those of you guys with short memories, let's introduce you to the five Survivor Dans. Okay. So let's start with, of course, that we need a man who needs no introduction. We have Dan Foley. Okay. And of course, we know Dan Foley.
I just suck.
All right, this is Dan Foley. And, of course, this week he had one job, to watch Joe, and then he lost him. That's Dan Foley.
That's Dan Foley.
Yes. And Dan Foley is from Maine. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Okay. So we have Dan Foley. Okay. Then, previous to Dan Foley, we have, from Survivor Nicaragua, the great Dan Lembo.
Woohoo! And all of his twits.
And all of his twits. And does he have to be here? Okay, so that's Dan Lembo. All right. And then, previous to Dan Lembo, a lot of people may not remember the Dan from Survivor Gabon, Dan K.
Survivor Gabon, yes. Dan K.
The aspiring lawyer who ate goodness. Too much food and started out on Fong and then went over to be with Corinne and Randy.
Wow. Yeah, no, very little memory of that guy, Dan
K. He was hoping to find himself on Survivor Gabon.
I'm just looking him up on my spreadsheet. Yes. He was the seduce and destroy.
Yes.
There you go.
Corinne said he might have been a former fatty.
That sounds very unlike Corinne.
Yes, okay. That's Dan K. Okay. Then, of course, we have the great astronaut Dan Fuego.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Dan Barry from La Mina.
Wow.
Friend of Terry, FOT.
Yeah.
He was a former FOTY.
Dan Barry. No, I do remember him.
And of course, we have a great friend of mine. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we have, from Survivor, the Amazon, Dan Liu.
Woo! Dan Liu.
All right, so we have five Survivor Dans. All right, Angie. It's time for, I wish we had a jingle for this, but it's time for the Survivor Dan Power Rankings.
Woo! All right.
All right, who is number one here?
So what order are we going in? The best to worst best?
All right, so let's go from worst to best. Who is the worst Survivor Dan? Again, we have, and if the book isn't written yet on Dan Foley.
No, it isn't. And I've got to consider the fact that he's made it to Final Nine. Like, that's got to mean something as well.
Yes.
And he's got a pretty solid alliance. Like, Mike doesn't seem to find him annoying.
Right.
So that's got to count for something.
It's got to count for something.
Just close your mouth, open your ears, and just watch what happens.
Yeah. And we're talking about potentially that Dan Foley could go to the final three. That is not outside of the realm of possibility. And that would be the highest placement of any of the Survivor Dans.
No, that's true. That's true. I'm not, I'm not hating Dan Foley on this particular Dan Power Ranking.
Wow.
The pickings are slim.
So who is the worst Survivor Dan?
Well, tell me more about Dan from Amazon.
Dan from Amazon. Now, again, he is the first of his name, Dan, mm-hmm. Dan from Survivor Amazon, Dan Liu.
There's a lot of pressure when you're the first of your name.
He is also, I think, perhaps maybe the most iconic of the Survivor Dans. I think that he's very unforgettable. I mean, I feel like that he is still, so many years later. I mean, this is now 12 years after the airing of his boot episode. We're still talking about Dan Liu. I think many Survivor fans know Dan Liu. I don't think that Dan Liu can be the Dan that sucks.
No, I'm thinking I'm leaning towards Gabon.
Yes, I think forgettable. The only known for being a former fatty to Corinne. Josh Wigler and I talked a lot about Dan Barry. I'm sorry, Dan K. I'm even getting his name wrong now. In when we do Survivor Gabon, I think Dan K. might be the Survivor that sucks. The Survivor Dan that sucks.
The Dan that sucks, right?
Yes. Okay. Then, all right. Who's number four?
Well, I'm trying to weigh the merits.
I think it might be Dan Lembo is number four.
I'm thinking that as well, because he was he seemed someone that was dragged through the game.
Hold on. Do I have to be on this list? Is this mandatory?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, he brought the alligator shoes that was kind of like Julie McGee bringing her Gucci bag to the island. Yes. It's just, I don't think he knew where he was. So.
Dan Lembo, I think, is four. And then yeah.
Dan Barry.
Astronaut Dan Fuego.
I think he was a hell of a guy, but he didn't bring a lot of game.
Did you know he was an astronaut?
Yeah, that came out on the show.
Did you hear that he was an astronaut?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know that.
He told Terry.
I know that when we get to that chapter in Evolution of the Strategy, you'll hear that that it irritates me that he drops that astronaut bomb on people left and right. It's a little bit.
Because he says, "I'm going to keep it a secret," and then he's like, "I got to tell."
And then he tells everybody, and he really wants people to be impressed with that he's an astronaut. Wants people to be blown away with that.
He's been in space.
He's been to space. Yes. Who knew? Yeah. All right. There's Dan Fuego. Then, all right. So number two, who is the Dan that doesn't suck? Is it Dan Foley or Dan Liu?
How did we get Dan Foley all the way up?
Because he's going to do the best of any Survivor Dan. And I think that the previous record for Dans on Survivor, first off, of these five Dans, none of them. I'm not. Does Dan K make the? I think Dan K is the last person that doesn't make. I don't think he makes the jury. He makes the merge, but not the jury. Is that right?
I think he's even
pre-merge. I think that he's. Because they have a late merge in Gabon. He gets voted off day 21, which is typically the merge, but he also is undateable. So all the Survivor Dans are undateable, except for Dan Foley and Dan Lembo. Dan Lembo is the previous Survivor Dan to go the furthest. He comes in fifth. Is Dan Foley have a good shot here? He's at final nine. Can he survive four more votes?
I think he can. I'm finding this whole process to be very shocking.
Not only is Dan not the Dan that sucks, apparently, which flies in the face of what he says about himself.
I just suck.
He might just be the Dan that doesn't suck.
He might be. I mean, I'm not the Amazon expert, so you got to make this final call. It's a very small pool.
Yeah.
You know, it's five players.
I think might just be the best Survivor Dan of all time with Dan Liu being number two. I think that the Dan power rankings go Dan K at number five, Dan Lembo at number four, Dan Fuego at number three. Dan Liu is number two, and Dan Foley is the it's Dan that doesn't suck.
I just suck.
No, no.
Yeah. Who's that person?
Yes. Yes, don't suck.
So how that turned out
no.
was... no. Dan is wrong again.
All right, there you go. Now, having just watched Survivor Nicaragua with Josh for the Evolution of Strategy, and we're getting closer to that, believe it or not, that is going to be the first chapter of Volume 3 of the Evolution of Strategy, and I think it's going to come out like the last week in July or something like that. So... Dan Lembo is really good. I mean, we just recorded that part, and Dan Lembo is pretty good. If I had to do it over right now, I think I'd still say Dan K, then Astronaut Dan, and I think maybe I might do it and go Dan Liu, Dan Foley, Dan Lembo. I think I was too low on Dan Lembo in the first list. Maybe I'm too high on Dan Lembo now because I just watched all of his best moments from Survivor Nicaragua. But that being said, we'll see. We'll see. Hard to really rank. I think that when we get further away from this, I think we're going to say probably Dan Foley is the most memorable of all these Survivor Dans. But I think I forgot about how good Dan Lembo was in those last couple episodes when he's like, calling out Chase and yelling at Sash and very fun stuff with Dan Lembo. All right. One quick thing before we get to the next moment on the list that I've been talking to you guys about this survey on podcastone.com. I just want to mention it for you one more time because, of course, we love getting all sorts of feedback from you guys. That's pretty much the backbone of this show. So this is a chance to get some more feedback in, and this time it's for Podcast One, our podcast network, because your responses will help us make the show and the network
the very best that it can be. So it'll take about 3 minutes of your time. And of course, we really appreciate you helping us out. You can tell us how you really feel about the show and help us get to know you better when you take the survey at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com, and keep those tweets and comments coming. And this moment actually comes to us from the last regular podcast that we did during the season. And this is when I had Haley Strong on the podcast. And there was a bunch of different moments that we could have gone for from the episode where Haley was on. I spoke with Aris in the first half, and then I did voicemails with Haley on May 15th. And the moment that I ended up pulling was when we first got to hear a bunch of Rodney's impressions on social media, and we went through them. And here is us listening to Rodney do impressions on Twitter with Haley Strong. You did win. Congratulations.
Tweets, baby. Thank you. Tweets, Rupert. Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor. Rupert tweets.
Okay.
Do I win a surf and turf?
Yes, you win. You win surf and turf, which happens to be Rodney's favorite meal.
You understand that surf and turf is my favorite meal.
Okay, speaking of Rodney, do you follow Rodney on Twitter?
I do not follow Rodney on Twitter.
Okay, well, Rodney has really been making a lot of new fans on his Twitter recently because...
This is excellent impressions?
Yes, that I don't know if everybody who listens to the show follows Rodney on Twitter, but at Rodney underscore Boston, he tweeted during the week that and he included me on this, if he gets 200 retweets, he's going to start posting impression videos, which were first heard in the Shireen podcast that we did. So Shireen had some footage of Rodney, and now he has been making these videos where he's doing impressions. So he has, we have three Rodney impressions that he has tweeted out. Okay.
Oh my God.
Did you hear any of these?
I heard the Max one.
Okay. He actually has two Max ones. Here's Rodney doing Max.
Being a student of the game and having to taught a course on Survivor, I feel like now being in the game, I'm now ready for my second chance.
What do you think of that? You're a Max Dawson expert. Is that a good Max?
It kills me.
Yeah.
It kills me. That is so funny.
We have another one.
Being a Survivor fan and also being a part of the Dirty 30... is probably one of the best experiences ever.
You know, the crazy thing, if you watch these videos, though, it's like it's night and Rodney is just outside with no shirt on in the pitch black doing these impressions. Like,
I'm pretty sure that Rodney only owns one shirt, and that's the one he went on Survivor with.
Yeah. I thought the best Max Dawson one was the one that Shireen played.
I thought the first one you played was like a really good one.
Okay. This is Rodney again doing Mike.
I mean, Sierra, I know you be racing those horses, so if you ever pass through Texas, me and you, maybe we can go.
That's pretty good, right?
My personal favorite from Rodney is Dan, because it's just like the vocal cadences are just so perfect.
Okay, and he's tweeted also, this was the third one he did. This is, as per requested by Haley, this is Rodney doing Dan.
That's stupid. That's the dumbest thing you can do. Bamboo is hollow. I am a fat guy. It won't stay.
That's really so good, right? Perfect. That's really good.
Like, it's amazing.
That's stupid. That's the dumbest thing you can do. Bamboo is hollow. I am a fat guy. It won't stay.
His production value is terrible, though.
Like, he's doesn't matter if he has the talent.
Like, it's not even like the video is clipped off. He doesn't even get there. But we need to get Rodney. We need like a tech person there recording Rodney. He's like, he can't do it all himself, but he's really good.
That's stupid. That's the dumbest thing you can do. Bamboo is hollow.
Because I feel like Mike is pretty easy. Like, you, like, I feel like anyone.
The Dan
could, like,
is brilliant. Like, I think he's so on Max. Like, the Max thing, like, caught me off guard the other day, but the Dan is great. He's
like,
really
good. The Max is good, but like, the Dan is just like, it's just stunning. It's great.
Yeah, he's really,
and like you said, like the fact that like he has like the world's like most Boston accent ever.
Right. It's so must be
and
so
he can,
difficult.
Like, do these. Like, he can just turn it off. It's just amazing. Like, I love it. I love it so much.
It's fantastic. Again, great job by Rodney. I'm still trying to track Rodney down and get a longer podcast with him over the summer. I think that would be a lot of fun to talk with him and sort of, you know, talk to them about the game, but also get to know Rodney a little better on the podcast. I think that'd be a very fun show to do. All right, one last moment here on the top voicemail moments of the season. And appropriately, this is going to be one that's going to come right from the end of the show, trying to come up with what the hashtag for one of these episodes were going to be. And I got to speak to David Bloomberg. This was in the podcast that we did with Sandra. Then David Bloomberg was the voicemail guest on April 29th, 2015. And of course, this was following the episode where Dan was giving a motivational talk to Rodney, and we had a lot of fun with that. And so we ended up leaning on that when we were trying to come up with the hashtag at the end of the episode with David Bloomberg.
Do you have a hashtag for this part of the show?
Oh.
Let's see. It's got to be something from this, right?
And we are now down to two men. Yeah.
You may need it, but you want it. You want it, baby.
How about you want it, baby?
I'm afraid at what that hashtag would be.
You want it, baby?
I am kind of worried at who might already be using that hashtag. Let's see here.
Let's see. Well, I suspect that maybe if we look at who might be using it.
No, there's nothing there.
Yeah. Actually, I think that maybe this might be the masterpiece, the master jam.
And we are now down to two men.
You may need it, but you want it. You want it, baby.
Both guys are feeling it. That we know.
You need the shoulders.
Dan giving Rodney a lot of encouragement.
Dedication, motivation, baby. Huh?
Rodney's bag dropping a little more.
Stretch him out. Take a second. Hell yeah.
Sweat dripping off both guys. Rodney working on that grip. Rodney's still in this.
Come on, baby. He's twitching. You got it, baby. You got it. Angel, move your shoulder.
Rodney's going back down into that crouch. Looking for some relief somewhere. Gotta dig in now.
Don't look at him. Just focus. Just dig in and hold.
Rodney's straining, giving everything he has.
Yeah, I bet you could do a Tidy Whitey's remix also. But
I
I'll leave that to Lisey.
Yeah, I looked up the hashtag for "You Want It, Baby," and we don't want it.
Okay, we don't. Yeah. We don't. How about "We don't want it, baby"?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's the hashtag. We don't want it, baby.
Okay.
I haven't been that safe. All right, everybody, there you have it. Those are our top moments from the RHAP voicemails from Survivor Worlds Apart. Hopefully you guys like a show that's like this, because I felt like it was a lot of fun to get to. And hopefully if you didn't like it, you didn't listen to the whole thing and then put yourself through some sort of torture listening to a podcast that you didn't like. And if you did like a show like this, I've got one more idea like this planned for next week. Nicole and I are going to be taking a quick trip at the beginning of this week, because we want to try to take a little bit of time while it's the Survivor off season and before Big Brother comes on. So I've got one more show like this that I'm planning for next week, dealing with some of the exit interviews in the history of Rob Has a Podcast. Got some other fun stuff planned as well. We're going to record the Spice and Hour for you guys. That's going to be up on Monday. I also recorded a podcast last night with John Norton talking about the state of Survivor. John Norton, of course, is the host of the Tribe podcast. We spoke about a lot of different issues concerning Survivor, where it stands right now, what's going right, what could potentially be going wrong. And that podcast is going to be up on Tuesday. And then we are going to get into everything with the cast release of Big Brother. That's going to be towards the end of this week coming up. And also we may be checking in with Miss Survivor sometime soon on the podcast. So it's going to be a pretty busy week again next week on the podcast. And then Big Brother is kicking off, I believe, on June 24th. So it's all happening. If you want to get in on live feeds for Big Brother 17 and get in on Big Brother live feed bingo, you can go to robiswebsite.com/bingo for all the information you need to play in Big Brother live feed bingo and potentially win $500 playing live feed bingo on Rob Is a Podcast.
No purchase necessary to play Big Brother Live Feed Bingo. You don't need to buy the live feeds from me. We're just going to go ahead and open that up to anybody because it's a lot of fun. And I don't want to, a lot of people already have the CBS All Access or they want to buy their live feeds from whoever. So I'm just going to open it up this year. If you want to play Big Brother Live Feed Bingo, go to robiswebsite.com/bingo. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoy this podcast. Definitely let me know in the comments if there were any moments from the podcast that we missed from this year, not necessarily from the voicemails, but anything, because what I'd like to do is maybe at the end of the year, at the end of December, you know, that week between Christmas and New Year's, maybe if we end up doing a best of 2015, I'd love to have one place to go back and sort of go through and say, okay, here were some other moments to do and not just the moments that were in this episode. So if you're thinking of things that you'd like to also hear in a potential year-end best of show, post those in the comments for me. I greatly appreciate it. That's all on robiswebsite.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, robiswebsite.com/iTunes, or you can subscribe with the Rob Has a Podcast app at robiswebsite.com/app. Have a good one, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Everybody knows what Sugar Ari knows. Turned out to be nice. 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 Sugar, 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 sugar. Turned out to be nice.